Well, these officials from BP and the company that owns the oil rig Transocean, an official from Halliburton, they were in charge of the cementing operation, an official from Cameron, the maker of that blowout preventer, they're all on Capitol Hill testifying. They were testifying yesterday. As they sat shoulder to shoulder, it was extraordinary to kind of see them turn some of the crucial and overall blame for this on each other. So the Transocean, as the owner and operator of the rig, had responsibility for the safety of the drilling operations. But then when they got into more specifics, the CEO of Transocean said that essentially this was BP's operation and they called a lot of the shots, and the head of Halliburton kind of said some similar things. So there's just a lot of kind of turning of the fingers on each other at this point.
So the problem was not having a fail-safe in place, is that correct?
Well, the fail-safe was supposed to be the blowout preventer, which, you know, and again, the responsibility for that could be divided among a couple of different companies. BP was kind of operating it. Transocean owned it, but it was made by Cameron. So, you know, was it a problem in the manufacturing of it? Was it a problem in the way it was being run? Was it something else? You know, they're all kind of saying, well, let's just wait until the investigation bears this out. But essentially, yes, the fail-safe that was supposed to be the one thing that would shut off this well and prevent this from happening was that blowout preventer, and it has not worked, and it has not worked in capping this well.
We still don't know what actually caused this.
No, we don't. And what was interesting, Chris, was that when they started to get into some things that could be the root causes of it, they lapsed back into some of the finger pointing, and specifically, there was something that they got into in yesterday's hearing. It was questioning about something that happened on the rig shortly before the explosion. They were asked about an account by two rig workers in the Wall Street Journal about kind of an anomaly that had occurred. Usually they drill this heavy drilling fluid. They pump this heavy drilling fluid called mud into the well to stop gas from escaping, shooting up the pipe and causing an explosion. Well, in an unusual move, the mud was removed from this before a cement plug could be put in. Usually the cement plug is put in and then the mud was removed, But in this case, mud was removed first and seawater got in there. And when they were asking these officials about that, the head of Transocean said, well, that was a decision that was made after BP consulted with the Minerals Management Service. And the Halliburton head, even though Halliburton was in charge of that cementing operation, Halliburton CEO there said that the same thing, that it was essentially a decision that would have been made when BP consulted with the Minerals Management Service. And neither BP nor the Minerals Management Service would comment to us about that. They would just say, we're going to wait for the investigation here. But essentially, that evolved into finger pointing as well.
So this isn't going to go away anytime soon. We'll keep our eyes on that. In addition, you're following the issue of modifying Miranda. The Times Square suspect had been interrogated before he was told he had the right to remain silent. And there's one side of the world that says he shouldn't have been read his Miranda rights, and the other side that says he should have been read them earlier. What is the modification that they're looking at now?
What they want to do is to kind of expand the use of something that they call a public safety exception to the Miranda rule, and that is essentially doing what they did with this guy, the bombing suspect, Shahzad. He was interrogated for 4 hours before he was read his Miranda rights. At that point, when he was read his Miranda rights, he could have said, well, I'm not saying anymore. I'm going to get a lawyer. They were lucky in this case that he didn't say that. He kept talking, but he could have clammed up at that point, and what they want to do is expand the use of this public safety clause in the Miranda rule, which essentially allows them to interrogate someone for an indefinite period before you read that person their Miranda rights. And they want to expand the use of that so they can get as much information as they possibly can about potential plots. That's the reason that they call it the public safety exception, is because when they have reason to believe that the public safety is at risk and they're interrogating someone, they want to have that extra time to interrogate them without reading them the Miranda rights, so that the suspect doesn't shut up, essentially. And that's what they're looking at doing.
What has to happen to make that happen, though? Who makes that decision, and does it literally take an act of Congress?
Well, the Attorney General, Eric Holder, wants Congress to kind of legislate this. There are some experts who say that the Supreme Court's never going to go for that. They're never going to accept any kind of an erosion of Miranda, especially one that comes from Congress. But Eric Holder is looking into that possibility of getting Congress to legislate that. you know, who makes the call now? That's a very good question, Amy. I mean, it may be someone at Holder's level who makes that call. It may be the interrogators themselves. It probably goes up and down the chain of command. Very likely did in the situation of the questioning of Faisal Shahzad. He was providing some crucial information to them, and they want to be able to have that at their disposal. Now there are others who say that Miranda shouldn't even be brought into this equation. They should just be sent to a military tribunal and interrogated indefinitely and get the information that way, so that Miranda doesn't even creep into it.